Paris, 10 days earlier. I was frustrated that Friday night as I left the editorial offices of a magazine where I do freelance work. The paper had received a letter from a lawyer forbidding me from publishing an article I'd written about a young female jihadist. I had just spent 2 days in Belgium with Samira, the girl's mother. Her daughter ran away to Syria a year before to join Tariq, the man of her life and a fanatic devoted to the Islamic State's cause. Naive and blind with emotion, Layla wanted to live with her great love. A bullet to the heart ended his 20 years one spring. Samira was hopeful when she learned of the death of the man she'd been forced to consider her son-in-law. With Tariq dead, Samira saw no reason for her daughter to stay in the tragically war-torn country. But Layla was clear. She now belonged to that sacred land and wanted to do her part in the fight to create a religious state in the Middle East, with or without her husband. Tariq had been an emir, which means his widow was well taken care of. People respected her, and Layla asked her mother, "Why should I go back?" Local news sources had picked up the story and begun comparing the 18-year-old jihadist to the Black Widow, a prominent figure in the world of international terrorism and the wife of the man who assassinated Ahmad Shah Massoud. Samira's love for her daughter was great and her response to the situation swift, but she was coming up against an immense challenge. Not only did she have to find a way to repatriate Layla to Belgium, she also had to prove to the authorities that her daughter was living in one of the most dangerous countries on Earth for humanitarian reasons. Otherwise, Layla would be considered a threat to domestic security and sent to prison before potentially being banned from setting foot in her own country. That was when Samira's and my paths crossed. Journalism can lead a person to many things, sometimes to the aid of a distressed mother. Samira was beside herself, and she'd turned to Dimitri Botink, a former member of the Belgian Special Forces, who famously managed to repatriate his own son from Syria. Dimitri is a source of hope for all these European families who wake up one morning to the harsh realization that even those they'd least suspect, even their own teenagers, could be jihadists. After his personal experience, Dimitri became a tireless crusader, volunteering for virtual suicide missions to save other youths, or at least dig up concrete information to help their families. Aware of the risks that Layla faced for being branded the new Black Widow, he'd asked me to meet her mother. I'm a journalist, and though I'm keenly interested in geopolitics, I'm not an expert. However, I've always been drawn to erratic behavior, whatever the cause, religion, nationality, social milieu. I'm fascinated by what motivates people to make fatal decisions. Sometimes it's drugs, sometimes it's crime or marginality. I've also done a lot of work on radical Islam. Back then, I'd been studying European jihadists in the Islamic State for about a year. There were many similarities between the successive cases, but I was interested in understanding what it was that made each individual decide to give up everything and brave death for this cause. At the time, Dimitri and I were writing a book about the 9 horrifying months he spent looking for his son. We spoke with many European families facing the same ordeal. I tried to interview as many people as I could. I saw the impact of digital propaganda on God's newly minted soldiers, but I still didn't understand what drove them. Why did they leave everything, their past, their families? Over the course of a few weeks, they threw away their lives, convinced they'd never look back, ever. Walking through their bedrooms, often preserved by their parents, always gave me chills. I was peering into other people's intimate spaces, which had become shrines to forgotten lives, as if their teenage relics were the last proof of their existences. Layla's existence seemed frozen in time. Pictures of her normal life abounded. There she was in a tank top, wearing makeup, at friends' houses or in a cafe. These idealized images were a far cry from the new Layla, with her burqa and her Kalashnikov. After listening to Samira's story, I continued my investigation, which confirmed some of what she'd told me, and I wrote the article. yet another piece on a subject that had become increasingly ubiquitous over the past several months, but it wouldn't be published. Layla was furious when her mother mentioned our interview and threatened to burn all bridges. "If you talk about me to the press," her panicked mother tearfully reported her words, "not only will I never come back, you'll never hear from me again. You won't know if I'm dead or alive."